Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon and welcome back to our show. I'm still broadcasting from my apartment. I just got up during the news to go to the restroom to get some tea, and my bathroom is right here. My kitchen is right here. One of the reasons I'm not back at the station is the studio is geographically located in a position that is not convenient to my office or the kitchen or the bathroom. And I'm kind of waiting for some paperwork. Those of you who are in ER, deal with ER with companies, you know exactly what we're talking about. So I'm looking forward to getting back to the studio as soon as I can. I like to know what you're going through when I'm talking to you. I envision you in your car. I envision you at home. I envision you in your office. I envision you doing different things. And when I meet you, I put those faces of the people that I meet from this past weekend and whenever, I put those faces with the image of the audience that I have as I do the show. So to give you a fair opportunity to see what it looks like when I'm doing the show from home, I just put that on my Instagram account, which is Scoot on the Air. So just go to SOTA, Scoot on the Air, Instagram, and give you a shot of that. I may do that later on Facebook for those of you who don't have Instagram. Look, we've got a lot going on. I saw the Tony Award-winning and controversial play Hamilton last week at the Sanger. And it's the story of one of our more obscure founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton. So we're going to talk more about that. We're going to talk about what I loved about it, and we're going to talk about what's controversial about it. And you may hate the play even though you've never seen it just because you've heard about it. If you've seen Hamilton, I'd love to know what you think of it. Hamilton continues at the Sanger from now through the end of the month. It's here through March 31st. But I believe they take Mondays off, so there's no show tonight. I mean, you got to give those people a chance to rest. Just tuning in, we were talking about President Trump's tweet tantrum over the weekend, condemning Saturday Night Live as a show that is not funny anymore, even though he, I guess, watches it, and he was critical of the show this past week, even though it was just a rerun. I mean, it wasn't even an original show. And the president said the show is so unfair in the comedy that targets him that he brought up the idea of the Federal Election Commission and or the FCC looking into the unbalanced humor directed at him from TV shows like Saturday Night Live. And I know he's complained about the humor on the late night talk shows, Colbert, Kimmel, Fallon. So I guess the question is, should the FCC be looking into this? Should there be a balance when it comes to comedy? And why does the President of the United States, a man that has risen to this epicenter, this, I guess, the pinnacle, really, a man who has reached this pinnacle of success, a guy who is tough enough to become president, he's worried about what they're saying on Saturday Night Live? And I know many of you think it's not funny, but a lot of people do, and it's still on the air, and the ratings for the late night shows, last time I checked, I haven't checked recently, but the last time I checked, the ratings were up from the past, so, you know, Trump as a target has attracted a lot of attention. So, you know, if you don't want to believe it, you really should at least know what's out there. And if you think everybody loves Trump, that's not the case. I don't hate Trump. I don't come on the air to bash Trump. I'm a patriotic American. I come on the air to try to set the record straight on some of the crazy things and some of the things that I totally disagree with that the president is saying. I did that with Obama, and I've done that with other presidents. By the way, a new CNN poll has just come out. And the CNN poll shows that President Trump's approval rating is up. It's up to 42%. Now, for those of you who don't trust CNN, for those of you who don't ever trust the polls, it is true polls can be wrong. But for the most part, polls can be rather accurate. You can't criticize a CNN poll when it doesn't fit your liking, and then say, oh, well, the poll's right now. I mean, that's the simplistic hypocrisy that lives in our political and social pop culture. But the poll shows the president up to 42%, which is good. I mean, that is good. And the economy, even more people approve of the economy right now. So there's a lot going on. The president doing well with his approval rating. So we've got a lot to talk about. I mentioned at the beginning of the show how nice it would be, or how interesting it would be, to be at the table, the dinner table at night with Kellyanne Conway, senior advisor to Trump, and her husband, George. Because Kellyanne Conway's husband, George, over the weekend said that President Trump is mentally ill. And he actually went and found research that describes the symptoms of a mentally ill person and matched it with President Trump's behavior. So can you imagine what that dinner is like? I can't. We're also talking about President Trump going out of his way to once again send out a tweet bashing the late Senator John McCain. And we have talked about the horrific attack in New Zealand, and this was apparently motivated by white nationalism and hate toward Muslims and others, but in this case, the targets were Muslims. And I can't think of any situation where somebody would be more vulnerable than praying. If you're praying, that makes you more vulnerable than in so many other situations that you might be in. That it takes a true coward to attack somebody when they're praying. Also this afternoon, we will get to talk about Hamilton here in just a moment. We've also been talking very briefly, and I don't think we're going to get to this much this afternoon, so I'm going to talk about this more tomorrow afternoon. President Trump and some Republicans will say that if you vote for a Democrat, you're voting for America to become a socialist nation. And I reject that whole premise. It's fear tactics. It's not going to happen. Fear tactics. But you'll believe what you want to believe. But when President Trump talks about stifling comedy, when the president talks about limiting media, when he talks about controlling, when he talks about tainting the media by calling all of the media that disagree with him fake media, when he talks about that, then I think it's fair to argue that President Trump, supporting President Trump, is supporting for our country to lean toward being an autocratic society. Or a dictatorship. And so if you think about it, you know, both sides are bringing up false fear tactics. I mean, I haven't heard anybody talk about President Trump. Well, President Trump, I've heard people say he's leaning toward, he appears to want to be a dictator. I've heard people say that. But I think it's time that we compare that to people who say, well, we're going to be a socialist nation. Well, if you can say that, then you could also say, well, we're going to be a dictatorship. And I don't think either one of those is going to happen. But look, before I get back to your calls, and if you're on hold, just stay with us, bear with me. I've got to get to a break, but I'm going to come back with more of your calls. I saw the play Hamilton, and I loved it. It's a Tony Award-winning, Pulitzer Prize-winning play. It is also a controversial play, controversial for a number of reasons. They use rap music to tell the story of some of our founding fathers. And people were offended by that. In the same way that the establishment was very offended that rock music was used to tell the story of Jesus Christ in the rock opera, Jesus Christ Superstar. Also, black actors play the parts of people who were white in history. The story of Hamilton is the story of really one of our more obscure founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton. He didn't get the attention that George Washington or Thomas Jefferson got, but Alexander Hamilton was a very integral player as a founding father in forming this country the way it is today. And the things that he fought for and the things that he fought against. He was a key player in America becoming America. The play is controversial because not only the rap music, but it tells the story, and black actors play white characters in this historically themed play. So is it wrong to use black actors to play white characters to tell a historic story? Or is the use of black actors really a statement that race should not matter? Have you seen Hamilton? What did you think of it? I love the idea that at this point, there is a play, It's been going on for a long time, but here it's in New Orleans until the end of this month at the Sanger. Here's a play that is causing people to research history and to think about history. If you saw Hamilton, if you know about Hamilton, you haven't seen it. They use rap music to tell the story of our founding fathers. Does that bother you? And does it bother you that a black actor was Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton married a black woman in the play, but in real life he was married to a white woman? And of course, Aaron Burr was a white guy, but he was this very tall black guy in the play that I saw. Is that wrong? Or is that really the ultimate statement that race should not matter? If you want to join us with your comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870. And our text number is 870-870. I'm Scooch. Let's go to break with music from the play Hamilton on WWL. So here we have rap-style music telling the story of our founding fathers. Is that offensive to you? Is that okay? And in Hamilton, another reason it was controversial is because black actors and actresses play the parts of people who were white in our history. Is that a problem? If you want to join us, I'd love to talk to you if you've seen it. And if you haven't seen it, but you've heard about it and you have an opinion about it, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, rap isn't my cup of tea in any scene. Well, I get that. And look, I'm not an aficionado of rap. I appreciate and respect hip-hop and rap, but it's not my favorite genre, and that's okay. But I really did enjoy the play because, personally, I enjoyed this very modern, contemporary form of music, genre of music, that was telling the story of our founding fathers. It's like it broke barriers. It broke boundaries. And I thought just that in itself, even if I didn't just absolutely love everything about rap music, I loved the fact that rap music was used because it told such a profound story with the use of music that is clearly modern. From Slidell, Will, you're on WWL. Hello, Will. Okay, I guess we lost contact with Will. Let's go to Adrian in Metairie. Adrian, welcome to the show.
Hey, how we doing?
Good.
Yeah, I was just calling it up. The thing with the white nationalists, it is a known fact. Look it up independently. Crime among those guys or that, whatever you want to call it, organization, is up. And it's been up since Donald Trump has been the president. Just go and look. No Democrat, no Republican. It's an independent. You can go online and you can look it up and you can find it for yourself. That crime is up. It's a known factor.
Well, crime is down in a lot of areas. White supremacist type violence-inspired crime, that may be up. But crime overall, if you look at the stats, crime is down, even in many cases in New Orleans, in areas where you think that the crime would be up. From Metairie, Chrissy, you're on WWL.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
I have just a comment. I saw Hamilton this weekend, and I personally really enjoyed it. I don't think it's for everyone. I think some of the older generation, like my great-grandmother, probably wouldn't have enjoyed just because of the music, per se. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a problem in the least with the race of it. I'm kind of confused on where the issue came, you know, is coming about that. My question would be, too, is that, but what if a historical black story like The Color Purple was played by, because I saw that on Broadway as well, and I enjoyed mm-hmm. that as well. But I'm just wondering if the role was reversed, if a show that historically, you know, of all black cast was played with an all-white cast, if there would be an issue with that.
Well, that's interesting because I've got a text right here, Chrissy, that says, it's always the white race that has to accept the changes like these with the play Hamilton. Let white actors play black characters like MLK or Malcolm X, and people will call for their heads. I think that's an interesting observation. The reason that that is not... as, I guess, outrageous. Well, no, I think it would be as outrageous, but I guess the reason that that has not come up is that pushing that issue hasn't been as necessary because whites have been reflected as the majority in so many forms of entertainment. What I loved about and I think it's fair to ask that question, but what I loved about Hamilton was that knowing that Aaron Burr was really a white guy played by a black guy, knowing that Alexander Hamilton did not marry a black woman, those aspects of the play told me that, like, wait, race doesn't matter. It's just the character. It doesn't matter what color this person is. What matters is what they're saying.
No, I agree with you on that. And like I said, I have seen both. I've seen both plays, which, you know, with Color Purple is a predominantly black, you know, cast, and both. However, I do think there is a bit of a double standard. Me personally, it didn't matter either way, but I agree with what the text had said as well. If you would have had an all-white cast in The Color Purple or playing Malcolm X, I think there would be more of an uproar. And I'll let you go with that. But I do, I enjoyed both plays. I thought they were both equally, you know, wonderful musicals. I'm a huge Broadway fan, and so I enjoy the art of it. But I do have to be honest, and in today's society, I think there would be a double standard with it. But with that being said, I think it was a wonderful twist, and it was a great story. So thank you so much.
All right, Chrissy, I appreciate the call. If you want to join us with your comment, if you've seen Hamilton or if you know about it and you've read about it and you have an opinion about it, our number is 260-1870 and our text is 870-870. I think often the double standard comes into play when people are keeping score and when they say, well, if they can do this, then we can do this. When we doing this isn't as necessary as them doing that. If that makes sense, you know, because of the way things have been. I mean, imagine growing up black and every sitcom that you watch in America has got nothing but white people in it. I mean, imagine how you would feel. So there was such a need to try to correct that wrong. If you're on hold, stay with us. I'm Scooch, and we'll be right back on WWL. This is more music from the play Hamilton, which I saw last, I guess it was Wednesday. It's still at the Sanger. They're off on Mondays, but it's playing through the 31st of this month. Excellent. I thought it was profound and powerful. Tony Award-winning, Pulitzer Prize-winning play, but also a controversial play. And here's a text that says, were you the only old white guy there, Scoot? No, I wasn't. Well, I didn't check IDs, but I think there were a few people older than me and a few people maybe even whiter than me. I'm pretty white. But I mean, a lot of places I go, I'm the oldest white guy there. Or at least the oldest guy there. Here's a text that says, saw Hamilton last week. So powerful. Loved it. Another text says, I will be traveling to New York City to see it on Broadway. Here is a text that says, cultural appropriation. No, that's not cultural appropriation. If black characters are playing historical white figures in history, that's not stealing from the white race. So look up cultural appropriation, and I think you'll understand that it doesn't fit the definition. Let me get back to your calls. From Slidell, Rowe, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, next time you should tell him, say, hey, I didn't know I was old.
I'm trying not to act it.
Listen, I think I call to talk about the rise of white nationalists, but, you know, when you're touching on Hamilton, just, you know, it's kind of got me there, too. So I'll make just two quick points, and I'll hang up and just let you go with it.
Sure.
I think when it boils down to it, I think that it's about climate. The climate of our country now has changed. At one time, let's take Hamilton, for example. At one time, blacks couldn't play those roles. We didn't get the opportunities to play those roles. But the climate has changed now. People are a lot more open-minded now. And even white,
But in all honesty, I can't imagine, even in the past, I can't imagine black actors playing the part of a historical white figure. And so I thought that was another profound aspect of Hamilton.
But it's artistry. You know, it's great artistry. Because, I mean, I listened to the caller just a call a minute ago. I would love to see Melissa McCarthy play like Sophia on The Color Purple. I think that would be just wonderful.
And I'll tell you what it would do. Ro, what it would do is it would make us realize. It's not going to happen because it's very politically incorrect. But if it did happen, it would be just as profound as Hamilton. In the same way that there's a great scene toward the end of the trial in the movie A Time to Kill, when Matthew McConaughey is presenting the final part of his defense for Samuel L. Jackson's character in the rape of this black child. And he talks about it happening, And then he says, close your eyes and imagine all that. And he describes what happened. He says, now imagine that was a white girl instead of a black girl.
Right.
And
right.
That was just,
I mean, can you,
so
can profound. You imagine, like, Denzel Washington getting the chance to play some of those Harrison Ford roles in the 80s? I mean, I think it would be a great idea to, like, remake a whole lot of the movies and switch the cast up just to see the difference in it. I'm an artist, you know, but also with the rise of white nationalists, I did a television show about a month ago, and one of the topics on the show was talking about a stat that came from CAIR, C-A-I-R, which is the Council on Islamic, American Islamic Relations.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
They reported that 431 cases, hate crimes against Muslims last year. Now, I'm not Muslim, I'm Christian, but I'm gonna tell you, if I were Muslim and I lived in America and there were 431 stats of 431 hate crimes against just this one particular group, that is, how can you not say there's a rise when people do these kind of crimes? They staple it, they put a signature on it for why they do it. They go on social media and they blast why they do it. You know, so maybe they've been around for a long time, but I agree with you that there is this sort of pride in white nationalism now that you haven't seen for a while. Thanks so much for touching on the topic, man. I really appreciate you being unbiased when you're on your show.
All right, Ro, I appreciate the call. All right, if you've got a comment, 260-1870, area code 504, 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. You know, the play Hamilton also touched on the motives of King George, and the King George character was rather a whimsical character in the context of this very serious play. And, you know, it was almost as if he was a joke because of what he wanted as the leader, as the dictator. And he was so opposed to this nation becoming its own nation. And it really was about the very beginning of America. And it highlighted Alexander Hamilton, one of the more obscure founding fathers, who was an integral player in the formation of America. I loved it. But here's a text. In all fairness, I'll read this text as well. It says, saw Hamilton Friday. It sucked. Well, that's the way you judge art. You judge art from your subjective view, not from an objective view. So this person thought it sucked. Most of the texts that I'm getting, and look, I think the show was sold out, and I think it sold out many nights. So enough people don't think it sucks, so the play's there. In the same way that enough people don't think Saturday Night Live sucks, they don't think Colbert, Fallon, and Kimmel suck, and that's why they're there. All right, I'm Scoot. We're coming right back with more of your comments. So if you're on hold, just stay with us. And here's a text that says, if whites played in color purple, people would freak. And we just had that discussion. So it just goes to show you how quickly people are tuning in. But nobody should freak, because it would accentuate what these people are saying. And in some cases, if whites played those profound parts, you know, if a white person, I tell you what, we'll continue this thought when we come back. What if a white person played the part of Martin Luther King Jr.? I'm Scoot. We'll be back with that thought and your calls on WWL. I want you to imagine this for just a moment. What if a white guy played Martin Luther King Jr.? What if you and I, what if all of America heard a white guy saying the things that Martin Luther King Jr. said? The people who didn't agree with Martin Luther King Jr. then would say, man, that guy's right on track. And that's why it is so profound for somebody from another race to play the part of another race. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about Hamilton. Saw it last week. It runs through the 31st at the Sanger Theater. And I thought it was very profound, the use of rap music to tell one of the stories of one of our predominant founding fathers. I say predominant. It was really actually one of our more obscure but more important founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton. The use of rap music, and then also blacks playing the part of whites, who were historical white figures in our society. Hearing those words from somebody of a different race gives different meaning to it. And just think about anybody. There are so many things. What if a white actor played the part of Malcolm X? There would be people going, that makes sense. That guy's got a good idea. So that would be the value in doing that. from Norco. Henry, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, and thanks for taking my call. I have a season ticket for the Broadway to New Orleans. I saw Hamilton yesterday. I had no problem with the black actors because they're only actors, and I don't care who plays what as long as they're good. Even the rap music, when I had a little brother, a little black fella, 12, and I'm white, he was black, and I let him set my radio to his favorite rap channels, and I had never heard it until I saw I had him, and I really liked what he did, and I liked Lil Wayne. Anyway, two things. I thought the thing was a little long, that was all. And then they mentioned in the book about the 9-year-old son. And I thought maybe they could hire a young actor from New Orleans to play the 9-year-old boy instead of having somebody running around in the troop to teach him, to have his parents watching over him. Because when the 9-year-old came out, I said to my wife, gee whiz, he's awfully big for 9 years old. And
I remember, I had that same impression.
Yeah. Well, you know, I turned to my daughter and I asked my daughter, was Hamilton a short man? Because, you know, when you had Burr, probably 6'3 or 6'4, and Hamilton looked like he was 5'9. In history, I don't know who was who. But overall, you know, it was good. I liked it. And my daughter was really surprised that I liked the rap music because she said, well, Daddy, you want to listen to rap? And I said, well, when you're not with me, I do. So what can I say? It was good. And I liked it. And the black people playing it didn't bother me one bit.
Yeah.
So
well,
I'm
good
glad
for you.
You
Henry,
liked
I appreciate it. I did, too. I appreciate your analysis and critique of the play. From River Ridge, Jack, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Scoot?
I'm good, Jack.
That was a good last caller, man. See, free your mind and a ref will follow.
And, but that's right.
Hey, look, I just want to talk about, well, SNL and really all of these comedians that are on at night. Look, I think it's disingenuous for Trump not to realize or not to admit that he provides material for these people every day. And reality is there's a huge audience for it every night or else shows wouldn't be on.
That's right.
So it's you know, he does things that, you know, most other presidents all of the presidents of my lifetime, they don't go on a 50 Twitter rant on a Saturday afternoon. So for you to expect people not to react to that is just silly.
I totally agree with that, and we've talked about that often. It's really the audience that that decides. And, you know, I got some comments on my Facebook page over the weekend after I posted what President Trump had said about Saturday Night Live, and people were ranting and raving. It shouldn't even be on. It's stupid. It's not funny anymore. All that kind of tone was present there. And it's just a reminder that, you know, again, our judgment of entertainment is subjective, and you don't have to think everything that I think is funny, and I don't have to like everything that you think is funny.
I mean, they always like to say, let the market decide. If there's no market for it, it'll go away.
Boy, and that is almost one of the foundations of conservative ideology. Let the marketplace decide. Also, Beto O'Rourke, the former congressman from Texas who ran against Ted Cruz in the Senate race but lost. Close, but he lost. Beto O'Rourke, this young upcoming Democrat, raised $6.1 million in his first 24 hours after announcing he was running for president. That compares to Bernie Sanders, who was somewhere between $5.8 million, $5.9 million, and the rest are below that. But this does not mean that this guy is going to be the ultimate front runner. There's a long way to go, and I mean, you know, right now, the Democratic field, if you put all their pictures together, I mean, it looks it looks more like the senior class at a major college university. I mean, there's so many who can even count, and so many of them are, you know, when you think back on the Republicans who ran, the 17 Republicans, I think it was 17, wasn't it? 17 Republicans who ran, there were more more prominent Republicans running for president. Honestly, a lot of the Democrats who are coming up are no names. And they're very insignificant players up to this point. Now, that may change. And it's going to be interesting to watch this all unfold. And we will be here from 1 to 4 every afternoon to talk about it from the honest standpoint of a patriotic American. I'm Scoot. More from Hamilton. We'll be back on WWL. So I had had a dinner Saturday evening with my friend Amanda Shaw, and we just had a great time talking about politics. I mean, they kept coming to the table saying, are you ready to order yet? No, no, we're just talking. Just leave us alone. Anyway, I talked about how she picked up the check the last time we ate, and it was only $13.22. And I thought, okay, well, so you're, yeah, I mean, you know, we didn't order much, so that's why you were so brave in picking up the check, $13.22. So she said at the beginning of dinner, I'm picking up the check this time. So I ordered a few extra things. And yeah, she actually paid for it again. So thank you very much for the conversation and for the dinner, Amanda. And next time we go to dinner, it's on me. I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, our show producer, Tubman Essis, our location technician, Butch Landry, our chief engineer, Butch Landry, and also our studio producer is Ian Hoke, who did a great job with our music and everything today. Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert, Christian Gary coming up next. And I want to thank you for being part of our show. Join me on Facebook, Scoot on the Air. That's also my Instagram account. And my email address is scoot@wwl.com. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.